So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, well, happy Tuesday. Hope everyone's day is going well. If you're outside enjoying this beautiful weather, well, thanks for taking us along with you. Want to say thank you to everyone who called in yesterday, all the participants in yesterday's show. Great way to start off the week with an informative, hopefully at times entertaining show. Hope to do the same today. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on this very program if you'd like to join the conversation. And I've got a story to tell you later in the show about a first for me. Yes, last night or yesterday afternoon-ish, there was a first. And we'll talk about that later in the show. But something that I continued to tease yesterday and never got to, and for that I sincerely apologize, is this Metro Rail expansion that we have been hearing so much about over the last few years. Now, let me set it up. If you have listened to this program or listened to this station for any amount of time, you know I grew up taking the train downtown. We lived right down the street from the South Campus station. When I went to college, my college was on the rail line, so usually I would take the train downtown and then have to find a cab to take back to the dorms because the Metro Rail ends at 12:30, even on the weekends. So I'm a big train guy, public transportation guy, right? But that's because of convenience. I have always, until, you know, after college, I had always lived close to the rail line. Now, I don't, and no offense to the good people over at the NFTA, I have not taken the train in a while. The last time I believe I took the train was we were going to a wedding, and our hotel was on the train line, and the place where the wedding was on the train line, so we just hopped on the train. But it's not anywhere where it would be convenient for me to take, okay? So I just want to put that disclaimer out there. So, Metro Rail expansion, for the longest time, I said would be a great idea, right? Because if people were closer to the train line, they would then take the train, right? They would realize it's convenient, it's cheaper to take the train than to park downtown, and I thought that would be a great thing, right? And if you listen to Brian and I in the mornings, we would always have this debate. So, that was the plan where I thought the train would be going down Niagara Falls Boulevard, right? Going down the middle of the boulevard and then turning off to Willow Ridge and up to the college. Well, now this plan that was released last week, July 25th to be exact, takes the Metro from South Campus Station in the city on Main Street down the boulevard to Maple, down Maple to Sweet Home, and then Sweet Home, whatever that street is, that turns into UB, and that would be the Metro Rail expansion. Okay? It would cost around $2 billion, from what I have been told from sources. Now, you can check those numbers, but from what I've been told is it would cost around $2 billion. I believe Sean Lavin, the deputy supervisor, said that on the program yesterday. Okay? It would also remove driving lanes on the Boulevard and on Maple Road. And that's where I have to kind of tap out of this drawn-up idea. And let me explain to you. No, my thoughts on the train has not changed. I do believe if people are on the train line, there's a better chance that they would take the train if it's going somewhere they're going. But let's look at the obvious, right? I would love to have a vibrant downtown where there's always stuff going on. That's just not downtown Buffalo in 2025. Yes, we have the Bisons. We love the Bisons. They're here for the summer. Yes, we have the Sabres. We love the Sabres. They're here in the winter, and it's not every night, right? 25,000 less people work downtown than worked when this talk started. And then you have the reality that this is 40 years too late. People who are left in Western New York, the great people I'm talking to right now on WBEN, let's be honest, we're set in our ways. We want to get somewhere. We want to get there in less than 10 to 15 minutes. We don't want to have to wait for the train. And if it's something that you're not used to doing, if you're not like me and didn't grow up thinking the only way to go downtown was to hop on the train, well, you're not going to probably adjust to that now. Am I saying that's right? No, I'm just saying, let's be realistic. We've already got the state throwing $1 billion at a tunnel nobody wants on the 33. Do we really believe the state's going to put $2 billion in to a project that will remove driving lanes on two of the busiest streets in Amherst? And do we believe that anyone's going to take this train? Now, yes, I think for UB, it's perfect. It's beautiful. It will connect the North Campus to the South Campus to the Medical Campus. That's great. Great for UB. But is anyone else going to be in favor of this project? 803-0930, star 930. We also know the people, the not-in-my-backyard people, who don't want to put up with multiple years of tearing the road up, of the noise and commotion in front of their houses, or the idea of a train coming by every 20 minutes on their street. I understand that. You know, I think this train probably should have always been a completely underground thing. The fact that it goes above ground on Main Street, well, we've heard what people say. Again, I don't agree that the train being dumped out on Main Street is the reason that downtown Buffalo lost all its shopping. I think that is just what happened in downtowns of the size of Buffalo throughout the last few decades. I was also not here when it happened, so my opinion probably only goes so far. But in a time, again, we can't even come to an agreement on a tunnel on the 33, do we really think this is going to happen? And is this something that, are there supporters out there for this to happen? 803-0930, star 930. Like I said, I'm a train guy. I'm a public transportation guy. If the train went to Clarence Center, I would still take the train downtown. It doesn't. And now I'm kind of set in my way where, all right, I got to be downtown. I can get there in 30 minutes because I can take, you know, A to B to C and I'm downtown. This project is 40 years too late. Kind of like a lot of things in Buffalo. We're trying to do something. We're trying to make up for, again, something that should have happened when the original plans were drawn up, when this train was supposed to go to the airport, to the falls, to the South Towns. That ship, in my opinion, that ship has sailed. As people continue to leave Western New York, I don't think the people left are going to adapt to this new, to the new train line. But I could be wrong. Like I said, if the train came up to me in Clarence, I'd take it. But I grew up taking the train. I think it's a lot different for someone who, you know, for over a decade, that was how you got downtown. I didn't realize it was because my parents don't like to take the expressways. I just thought everyone takes the train downtown. And yes, I would love to see the plan from 1980 in effect. But I think we have to be realistic. And I know a lot of people don't like to say the rational part out loud. Buffalo's not growing, right? Western New York's not growing. We're not getting an influx of people. And that stat alone, in my opinion, is enough to say this isn't worth the money. Also, I don't think people in Amherst are going to be too happy about losing a lane both ways on the Boulevard and on parts of Maple. I just don't think this is the kind of thing that goes over real well. 803-0930, star 930. Let's start with Bill in Williamsville. Hey, Bill.
Good afternoon, Joseph. How's the family?
Oh, the family is good, Bill. How you been?
Good, good. I can't complain. How's your uncle doing? Is he doing all right?
You know, hey,
I haven't heard you mention Mr. Hardwick.
Because he has not accepted an invitation to my Wednesdays with a Democrat. So, you know, I'm a little hurt.
There you go. That's another thing. Congratulations on the show.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Your big dream would be like an exclusive 3-hour spot on ESPN.
Well, I will take
like a million and a half. You know, for 18-week stint on the weekend or something like that.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think ESPN would like my political mindset, so I probably wouldn't be welcome there.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. But I think, I grew up in Buffalo, South Buffalo, starting there, then out to the South Town, went to school with the governor. There's so many things in Buffalo. I mean, I've heard you talk about it, too. It's like Bass Pro downtown. Different things. We have a waterfront. It's too bad. You take a look at the politics that Buffalo and surrounding areas, excuse me, and how many things that the politicians have just let go through their fingers for the old money, of Buffalo not wanting this, not wanting that. We'd rather have a whole waterfront of just weeds and then walk around like a nature trail and not to have real commerce that pays the bill. That, you know, that brings people in. Take a look at the YouTube. There's a great video on Buffalo, not only Delaware Avenue and the wealth. We were one of the top cities in the whole world. People don't even realize that. But Delaware Avenue, but the city of Buffalo, I think we're 49th out of 50 in the country. It's sad because a beautiful waterfront, you can't buy that, but we've never done anything really with it. And it's just sad. Now we want to do this, which should have been done years ago. And what happened there was the fact that they used out-of-town labor. They used a lot of stuff. They never got it done right. And I remember I was working with
Oh, no. Bill, if you're listening on the radio, we lost you. Call us back, 803-0930, star 930. Sorry, Bill, he is right about the waterfront. I mean, like he said, that's not something you can buy. And Buffalo continuously screws up the waterfront. It's just political debate after political debate. And it is sad. I continue to say, I think this is a beautiful place to live. I think the people are great. It is sad what the politicians have done to Western New York, to New York State. I mean, this was once the greatest state in the union. There was a time where that was a fact. It is not anymore. It's not a destination. It's not a place where people want to be, unfortunately. I love being here. I love being in Buffalo. I love being in New York State, but because I love the people. And I want what's best. I've always said this. I don't care what letters next to your name. Unfortunately, though, the people who are currently in power are not doing that. They're not giving us the best. Bill's absolutely correct on that. And unfortunately, if you compare now to when this plan was originally put in place, we are not the size for we're not the size for this kind of plan. Bill, thanks for calling back in. The floor is yours.
Yes, Joe. As far as the rapid and that, she knew her stuff in and out. The mistakes that were made, it was ridiculous. But the fact is, it should have been done in the past, should have been extended in the past, and then businesses could have developed around the different hubs they had. Now you want people that at a convenience, they go to Wegmans, Tops, whatever, they have groceries, they're going to jump on the rapid transit after they load 4 or 5 bags and this and that, and it goes to nowhere. It's just, it's beyond the time, like you're saying, and it's too bad. Because Buffalo is a beautiful city. There's a lot of hardworking people. It's just you have politicians like Mark Coleman-Card that do nothing but pacify his own mental disability. And, you know, things like that. But it's just times change. And you know from your age and your friends, you want things now. You don't want to jump, walk for 15 minutes, even though 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Jump on a rapid transit, go somewhere, and then walk another. No, you'd rather get in your car and do it. Plus, you've got to stand in the thing, wait outside. It's just, it's just beyond the time for a lot of stuff, and it's too bad.
It is. But if like you said, Bill, if this had been put into place when it was supposed to be, I think people my age would have been so used to that, that would have just been a way of life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially, like, the horrendous response with the weather. I started my first business doing snow plowing in the blizzard of 77. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. I had a great partner. He knew how to plow. He could plow and drive in a blizzard just using the overhead street lights to navigate. You drive at 5 miles an hour. If you hit something, it weren't that bad. You keep going and this and that. But just this Buffalo mentality of, we lose 50 people. What, you're telling me we don't have a rapid response for emergencies like this and that? But come on. It's always switching the money somewhere else. And,
oh, yeah?
It's too bad, Joe. But tell your uncle that we still love him. He's very amusing. And you stay healthy, take care of that family.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you. Yeah, and I'm as I said, I'm hoping to get the comptroller on for one of our Wednesdays with a Democrat. I used to run Kevin's show, Hardline. He's been a great guest on Hardline for the years. We have a good friendship. I'm hoping that he will come on and do that segment. I'm sure he will. Like I said, tomorrow, Supervisor Brian Nowak will be our Democrat for our Wednesday Democrat. It was supposed to be a segment. Nowakowski did an hour. I'm not going to hold anyone to an hour, but if our guests want to go for an hour, they kind of get to call how long they're going to be on. I get to call the topics. So the first week went great, I think, and looking forward to tomorrow. And I'm sure Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick will be on that segment one of these coming weeks. I can't promise. I'm pretty sure about it. Let's go to Mark in Elma. Mark, what are your thoughts on expanding this metro rail?
Ridiculous. What vital points do we have beyond UB that the average rider who wouldn't attend UB, where would they go? It's not like if you took the rapid rail and you built it, let's just say, from the South Towns all the way to Niagara Falls, where you could get off at Niagara Falls, you could walk, see the falls, cross over to Canada, see points of interest over there. You could spend a whole day up there. But from beyond that point, just going to UB, it's great for a student, young people who don't have a car, want to get to school, get back home. Because once you get there, what's beyond there? What's beyond that point for an average person like me to want to give up driving my vehicle to go and take a train up there? There's no vital points of interest.
Right, and less people are going downtown, unfortunately, and it doesn't go to the airport. So you're right. I mean, where is it going to take the person on Maple who picks it up on Maple who's not a UB student? Where are you going to get the influx of people?
Exactly. And you know what? I mean, it would be, if they would have done this in the past, you get that, you know, they could have developed, you know, people that wanted to start their own business or whatever, points of interest or whatever, you know, let's just say there was something like, what's that golf deal? They got one
Top Golf.
South Carolina. Yeah. You know, if they had something like that, some kind of attraction, you know, if they would have done this years ago, you might attract businesses like that that would say, hey, we can build it out here. And then, you know, you put one vital point of interest and another one will come, another one will come, another one will come. And they just didn't think ahead. They didn't think down the road. It was just, you know, let's just, you know, it's a big waste of money. I hate to say it, but what is the yearly ridership of the rapid rail transit right now? You know, how many people get on maybe to go to work? If they live close by, they're getting on to go to work and get back home because they don't have a far distance once they get off at their stop to get to where they got to go. But for people that drive all the time to want to give up their freedom to get to a point of wherever they're going quick, easy, you know, it's a no-hassle deal. It's just stupid to think about trying to – it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. Anybody that agrees with it is they shouldn't even be holding public office or, you know, they shouldn't even touch our tax dollars because it just shows a magnitude of irresponsibility to try to – rectify something that they made a big mistake about years ago. You just can't fix it right now.
Yeah, you're right. And Mark, you're right. I mean, the people who take it are people who live close to it. My mom took the train to work for 20 years. My mom lived, you know, a mile down the street. For someone who lives in Orchard Park, the train's really not going to get them anywhere. It's just not.
I'm almost 60 years old, and I'll tell you this much. I've lived in Buffalo all my life, and I've maybe ridden that train maybe a dozen times, if that.
Right. Yeah.
That's sad.
That's sad. But like you said, Mark, I mean, it was a problem. It's something that should have been done in the past. That ship has sailed. I mean, you can't. You said it perfectly. Yeah, you cannot rectify the mistakes of the past. It's this one you have to let just go.
Even covering the 33. You know, my opinion is, you know, I mean, the neighborhood. You know, you got to look at the surrounding area and the people that live there. Now, I'm only going to say it this way. I would love to see more green space for the people in that area to utilize it. But do you have to cover every inch of that? Do you have to create a tunnel the whole way? Why can't it be certain sections? Why can't we save a buck but yet accomplish what we want to do but not to the magnitude to where it costs so much money and maybe it just doesn't work out, like the rapid transit, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we give a certain amount we cover up, you know, certain spaces and say, hey, you know, like, you know, where Martin Luther King Park is, why would you not want to cover up that area and make it more of a suburban type park-like setting like Delaware Park, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Why this idea to cover the whole thing? There's spots that, who cares if it's open or if it has green space or not? There's nothing in that area there anyways.
But you also have to look at, you know, what are the dangers to the people who live right above the exits of that tunnel as well, which is why so many people in the area are against it. Hey, Mark, appreciate the call. Mark in Elma, we'll be taking your call after this on WBEN. Welcome back. It's Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930-star-930. Talking about that train downtown, it does currently go downtown. That is where it goes. It goes to the arena. Like I said, I grew up taking the train to events downtown. My mom took the train to work for over 20 years. So it's, you know, I'm not poo-pooing the train. I love the idea of the train. I think the problem is this is, you know, the plan came out, what, a little over 40 years ago? 45 years ago, the original plan came out. I would say you could have still done this 25 years ago. I think this expansion is at the very least 25 years too late. What do you think? 803-0930, star 930. Bob is in Olcott. Bob, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, no problem. So,
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hi, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You got me fired up, Joe. Oh, my God. So I'm coming from this as a former student of UB. I'm coming at this as a 29-year-old who owned his own private contracting business. So I'm not like, you know, some little liberal arts study guy who went to go get a knitting degree. I've lived and paid taxes and worked a lot in Buffalo and Amherst. What people don't understand, I just looked up the numbers. The University of Buffalo has a student population of over 32,000 people, and it has an employee population of over 5,400. So that is a small city. Why would you not want the infrastructure of a small city for a small city? And the campuses are obviously spread out, so why wouldn't you want to connect them? And I don't know if any of these people complaining about the train have ever driven through a UB parking lot with the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis and the Bentleys. Like, there are some wealthy people that come to University of Buffalo. Why wouldn't you want them to, I don't know, take the train downtown and spend money downtown on a night of drinking or something? Like, obviously, you don't want them to drive downtown in that situation. So why not provide that opportunity? And North Campus especially, that's the super heavy dorm one. I mean, South Campus is beautiful and great, but most people live off campus, where if you have one central hub in UB North, all of those guys and girls and, you know, college age kids, like, they can be taking the train to downtown. A lot of them can't drive. A lot of them maybe can't afford Uber. And then as far as helping out the local population, it connects downtown to UB North. I mean, UB South is so heavy on the medical side of things and research, where UB North has all of the more liberal arts stuff going on. So connect downtown to the liberal arts school and bring, you know, Buffalonians to UB. It just, why do these people not understand how important this kind of infrastructure is?
So, Bob, let me push back a little, because until about 6 months ago, you and I would be, I would be saying, Bob, you're 100% right. And I'm not saying you're wrong. So please don't think that's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, you're good.
Because I'm like you. If I could, I would be taking the train everywhere because that's what I'm used to. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who, like you said, never jumped on the train. It doesn't benefit them. And we've gotten so used to this now, where I think a lot of people our age, Bob, wouldn't dream of jumping on the train. And I think to make this work, you do need more than just the UB students during the school year to take a train that is going to take up two lanes of driving on the boulevard and on parts of Maple. To make this work, I think you're going to have people in the community who also want to take the train.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, we have seen a lot of this kind of suburban expansion and getting out to kind of, like, even reaching as far as out to, like, the Pendleton area. And why, I mean, obviously a train isn't going to get out to that area, so, you know, personal transportation is super, super important. But, I mean, maybe people should open their minds and maybe they have been in Amherst for a while and say, wait, maybe I don't want to pay for a car anymore. And I mean, there are going to be some very, very painful growing pains in any huge change like this. I'm not saying I'm going to wave a magic wand and it's going to fix everything by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, it's just, I'm so tired of just people digging their heels into the ground and just are absolutely unmovable when it comes to just, you know, think about the idea instead of saying, nope, not in my backyard. Why not maybe, oh, come to the table and kind of like we're doing, discussing yep. it.
I think it'd be so much easier to sell this if you would have, if a portion, not you as and you, Bob, but if you, the NFTA in 1980 had at least, I think we are talking about a completely different thing, Bob, if this rail just went to the airport. You know, if they had only continued the part that went to the airport in the 80s like they were supposed to, I think you and I are having a very different conversation. I just think the trajectory of Western New York and the trajectory of Buffalo is why so many people are looking at this going, why now? It's just far too late. Because I agree. I mean, UB, as someone who works in viewable distance of UB, it is a city. I mean, as someone who went to a three-building college, you know, you look at UB, that's a frickin' city. And I know that UB students would use this. It connects the campuses. And, yeah, it might even bring people downtown who aren't downtown, which would help the economy of a place that's seeing 25,000 less people a week. I just think this ship has sailed, and I think they are 25 years too late. But, Bob, I, as a train taker, like I said, if the train went to Clarence, I'd be taking the train to work every day. That's it's in my blood.
Oh, absolutely. And while I do understand the whole, it's, you know, might be too late thing, I mean, why should we get caught up on it being too late? Why not say, you know what? Maybe they were too late. Maybe we are at a little bit of a disadvantage. It's going to be that much harder to do it and convince, but something has to be done in Western New York to just relieve this overall Western New York depression. Like, what do we have? We have the Bills and the Bandits and Niagara Falls, and sure, Buffalo's got the fun waterfront and all that, but I mean, that's it.
Don't forget the Sabres and the Bisons, Bob. Come on.
The Sabres? Really?
Yeah. Sabres in the... There's something.
No, I am a big Sabres fan. Don't worry. It hurts to say that. Don't worry.
Let me ask you, Bob. So you went to UB, sure. And now you're up in Olcott. How did that happen? Are you from Olcott?
Oh, I was born, raised, Sanborn, did UB, and back to Niagara County. It's nice to be home.
Is the lake open for swimming today in Olcott?
It's always open, man. All right, come on in and jump in. Great.
You know, this is crazy. Out of all the places in Western New York, I have never been to Olcott Beach. I might be the only person, right? 37 years, I've never been to Olcott Beach.
All right, so quick Olcott Beach plug. 25-cent rides with the old classic carnival rides. They got the cute little shops down there. And spend your money, bring Olcott into the light of day. I mean, it is a booming town down here. We're popping. Olcott's fantastic. Bring your friends.
All right, man. Well, I will have to do. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, no problem.
Bob in Olcott. I turned my mic off instead of moved the phone. 803-0930, star 930. By the way, not to like just Bob was a great caller. We disagree. And like I said, if Bob called in 6 months earlier, we'd be on the same page. I've heard from both sides, and I think I've noticed what I see. And again, this is my opinion. What I see is the reality of Western New York. But I also hear what Bob is saying. Something needs to kickstart what the economic boom that we want in Western New York. I just don't think this is the investment at this point. By the way, Olcott Beach is closed today the bacteria levels are too high. So I know I put Bob on the spot there, but Olcott Beach is closed today. Our brand manager, Lisa Polizzi, just informed me and sent me the public health advisory. Let's go to Drew in Buffalo. Drew's also been hanging on a long time. Drew, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Joe. I think Bob really summed up what I had to say. I'll just add that it's almost like a selfish conversation to have, because I think there's little to no crossover in people who truly benefit from this expansion as people who are driving, listening to 9:30 at 2 o'clock on a weekday, and people who are avid train riders, who people are going to benefit from this. And I think the younger generation especially is moving towards less vehicle ownership and less driving. I think this is the way to go.
You know, Drew, I hear that, but then I also think of people like millennials my age. And, you know, I remember, again, when I lived in Amherst and I was going down to a Sabres game and I would try to convince my friends to let's meet up at the train instead of drive downtown. And almost no one would sign on to that. You know, I do believe you're right. In big cities, the push has always been against vehicles. And I also think the goal of the train, yes, it would be to connect UB, but you would also want to be able to convince someone who's listening to 930 right now to give up their car if the train line's going to start coming by their house, right?
Of course. And I'm a millennial myself. I think this is a move for the next generation, your Gen Zers, who are the target of this move. I'm a person who commutes 20, 30 minutes to work. I'm not a person who's going to be a train rider, but I'll take the train downtown for a Sabres game every now and then living in the city. But this is for the Gen Z, the next generation who we want to move away from cars, who we want to ride this train.
If we're going to
be going to UB in the future.
If we can just give them a reason to stay in Buffalo, you know, because I believe 25 years ago, this would have been perfect. And I believe if we can get things in motion, hey, I'm back on, not to use the pun, I'm back on the train, right? If we can get the trajectory to reverse, especially for the younger generations that would use this, Drew, like I'm right. I think you're right. The younger generations, they do want to move away from cars. And you know, obviously UB students would use this, but we also need to see, okay, are we going to, in the next 5 years, have a reason for people other than the Sabres, the Bandits, and the Bisons to go downtown on a regular basis, because we're 5 years removed from the pandemic and we still are seeing 25,000 less people a week. That, I think, is a big issue for the train expansion.
All right. Thanks for it.
Hey.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, I appreciate it. Drew, don't be a stranger, man. 803-0930, star 930. I agree with what Drew's saying. The younger generation is moving away from vehicles. That's been the case, obviously, in bigger cities. You have a region that less and less people are staying, right? Half the people I went to high school with do not live in Western New York. That's just a fact. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are in that same boat. People who went to UB who don't live in Buffalo anymore. If you're going to make this kind of investment, you have to see where in the next decade that trajectory is going to turn back to people going to work in person downtown, to where people are going to, the people, yes, listening to WBEN right now are going to be willing to trade their car in for a train ride. And like I said, yeah, it's cheaper to take the train. But you also have to wait at the station. You know, have the train and let it go all the stops. Again, something that I grew up being used to. I'm just not sure. I think we are such a stuck in our way area. And we're also a region where the population is depleting. I just don't know if this is realistic or rational at this point in Buffalo. 803-0930, star 930. Dennis in Lancaster has been so patient. Dennis, thanks for hanging on.
Thank you. I tend to agree with you, Joe. The problem I have, I'm 79 years old. I think that we used to have streetcars here in my days growing up. This is just a total waste of money going out to University of Buffalo. And I'm a graduate of the University of Buffalo, 1967, by the way. I just think the politicians in this area have ruined Western New York in the sense of coming up with these bright ideas to build a stadium out in Orchard Park 50-some years ago. They missed the boat by not having a thing downtown. Buffalo, and I agree with you, Joe, 100%, the Western New York region is declining. And it's, I read in a paper today that Buffalo schools are probably going to close two more schools next year. People are leaving the area. And the people that are left here would have to pay for everything. And I don't see it being feasible. They missed the boat. I agree with you 100%. Not 25 years ago. They missed the boat 50 years ago. That's all I really have to say.
Hey, thanks, Dennis. Appreciate the call. Yeah, they did miss the boat 40 years ago, like Dennis said. I'm saying I think 25 years ago, you would have still been able to convince people, enough people, that this expansion is worth it. I think we were in a different place 25 years ago. That was, Dennis is absolutely right. When these plans were released, they should have gotten to work on going to the airport, going to the South Towns, going to the Falls. And like I said, if you had just expanded this thing to the airport in the 80s, and it had was supposed to originally do go to the airport, I think we are having a different conversation right now. Yes, we're still talking about the loss of jobs downtown and less people going downtown. And I'm sure that we are still talking about people leaving the area. But I think you would have a few more people sign on to this idea if the train went to the airport. I'm not 100% game changer, but I think of the calls we have on right now, it wouldn't just be Bob and Drew agreeing with the plan. I think you'd have a few more people agreeing, but it didn't. And unfortunately, unless you lived, you know, like I did, within a mile of the of a train station, you didn't grow up taking the train, right? You might have taken the train when you were downtown because you were pre-gaming on Chippewa and then took the train to the arena. Or you parked in the M&T lot and you took the train from the arena to Theater Station. I used to do that when I was in college. I'm sorry, after college. When I was in college, I would take it all the way to to Humboldt Hospital. But I mean, that's the reality. And I think so many people now in a time, they're just set in their ways of going downtown. And again, the ship has sailed. Buffalo is a smaller region. And I also think that taking away the two lanes of traffic is a big killer as well. Love to know your thoughts. 803-0930, star 930, back after this. Wow, we're already at hour number two? Man, this show flies by. I want to thank all of you for listening, for the very kind words. But, you know, I will also take criticism. I am trying to get better every single day. And I will take the criticism, but I like the kind words as well. By the way, tomorrow and Thursday, if you're saying, I'd love three more hours of Joe Beamer, you'll be able to get that on the Odyssey app. I will be filling in for Mark Reardon out in St. Louis. Now, obviously, I think you should listen to WBEN, but after the Bowerly program and Evening News with Tom Puckett, you can find my interviews from that show and the show in its entirety on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So if you're looking for something tomorrow night or Thursday night, you're thinking, I'd like to hear what Joe was talking about in St. Louis. You can do that. If not, well, that's fine too. I'm just happy that you're joining me here on WBEN. We were talking about the Metro Rail expansion, and we will let Dan in Tonawanda have the last word on that. Dan, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, your show is doing really well. I love that you're taking a lot of calls. The only thing I would suggest is when you're on a hot topic like this, stick with it. Don't move to a different topic unless you have to. It's breaking, what have you. But that being said, I remember over 30 years ago, I signed a paper for a signature bridge for the Peace Bridge. You know, the Peace Bridge is almost 100 years old. We got the Grand Island Bridges, the four of them, you know, that they got to be, I don't know how old, 80, 90 years old. I know some were built at different times, but they're going to need to be replaced. I mean, instead of having four bridges, they can have one going over the river on both sides and have traffic going opposite ways. They could save building two bridges. And that's going to have to be done. I hope it is. Now, I am in favor for the trains to go on the trails, the trails for rails. I thought years ago that they should have took the metro all the way down to Niagara Falls to UB, and they could have expanded as they did year after year, go somewhere else a little bit at a time. I went to a thing at Key Bank Center, years ago, and I suggested that they do that. I said I thought that it would be a great idea if they built the new the central terminal, if they took the train station out there and took the buses out there, sold the property where the buses are to get some revenue, and put everything out there, have a hub for the buses and the trains. You know, that central terminal, those lines go everywhere. They go all the way to the West Coast, East Coast, down to New York City, to Canada. They go everywhere. And we're missing a boat here. I really believe that the trains, it's going to cost a lot of money, yes. But you know how you can gain that money? Let the state frack. If you can frack, you can gain a lot of revenue that way, and you can do things like this, big projects. And we did miss the boat by not putting the stadium downtown Buffalo. I wish we would have, but unfortunately, the politicians got their way, and they wanted to keep it Orchard Park, which I love at Orchard Park. Don't get me wrong. It's great there. It's a lot of fun. Tailgating is great. But if you really wanted to bring back Buffalo, one of the key things they could have done is they could have built a stadium. They could have had a convention center. They could have had a dome. You can use it year-round. They missed the boat. And the same thing with the rails. I really believe that they should bring the trains and spread them out. I've been to all the big cities, and I've been to a lot of different trains, you know, and one of my favorites is D.C. If you've ever been to D.C., the train station out there is so clean. It's beautiful. I mean, they have stores, they have restaurants, all kinds of things. They have people playing music. It's like a party atmosphere. It really is. It's great. And it's a shame that Buffalo didn't do that before they put the rails in where the trails are. Those used to be, you know, obviously, you know, they used to be trains. I remember when I was a kid, they had trains to go right down the street here. If they would have done that, put the rails up there, and they still can. There's enough room to do that. You put the trains right next to where you walk and you bike. And you know, I'll tell you what, I don't know why, but we don't think out of the box. We don't think big in this city. You know, 100 years ago, we were the richest city in America. And now we're probably, other than Niagara Falls, we're going to be one of the poorest, it seems. It seems like we never think out of the box. We never think big. And we need a big thing like this.
Well,
this would be a great project.
I mean, for the size of Buffalo, we're the second poorest, I believe, under Detroit.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 33 I'm against. I'm against the 33. Yeah. I'm totally against it at this time. I think they shouldn't have, you know, they should have done that from the beginning if they're going to do it. But I'd rather see all that money go right towards these trains going to UB, going all the way to Niagara Falls. I can imagine I'm a block away from where the rails are. I can walk down the street, take it to the Sabres game. You know, how fun would that be for all the people all over the community, you know?
But, Dan, if that was the plan, if that was the plan to continue expansion, but the plan is to put $2 billion into this and then that's it. Like I said, I think we're talking about a different story if we're talking about the trains going to the places you're talking about, if we're talking about it going to the airport, to the falls. But
if you want a city like Buffalo to thrive, you're going to have to do something like this. You're going to have to connect Niagara Falls to Buffalo because, you know, the roads are getting worse. Cars are getting more expensive. Insurance is more expensive. You do want people do want other options. And yes, it costs a lot of money up front. But I tell you what, I think in the long run, it benefits the area, Western New York and the community. And it connects us all together. I mean, I know a lot of people are against it because they're afraid of what kind of people come towards your town or village. That's what a lot of people are against, because they don't want people that don't, you know, have as much or you know, there could be thieves using the train, who knows. But that's the downfall. I understand that, but you know, most big cities have a rail system that goes all over the place. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, D.C. is just – you wouldn't even need a car if you lived in D.C. My cousins all live out there, and that's all they do is use the rail. It's wonderful.
Well, if you had a car living in D.C., you'd spend most of your time just sitting on the Beltway.
Well, I've been on the Beltway many a times, trust me, but you got to drive fast. And everybody out there texts. You know, when they're texting, they're going 80 miles per hour texting.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. But
Dan, I don't disagree with you. And I think you made a great point. You have people in the city. It's half and half. You've got half the people here who think Buffalo is a top 10 city. And, you know, they view it like it should be like Toronto. And then you've got another half of people in Western New York who, you know, treat Buffalo like it's Elmira. You know, I mean, that is the problem with the vision is you have people that have two different, completely different views of Western New York.
Joe, I said it the other day. Niagara Falls is, there's people from every state going to Niagara Falls to see the falls, and people from all around the world going there. There's no reason why Buffalo and Niagara Falls shouldn't be connected like this for tourists and what have you. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be like Toronto, a destination, because we have the waterfront, the rivers, the lakes. Lake Ontario is beautiful. And I heard that kid selling the Olcott. You just missed the Olcott Pirates Parade.
Ah.
And Olcott's Pirates. Oh, it's wonderful. You got to take your kid there next year. That's a great thing to do. But anyway, get back on topic. This area has so many golden opportunities, and it seems like we have politicians that can always find money to pay for illegals and house them here or house them there, move them around, and give them all this free stuff and tell us that they're picking the crops for us, which is a bunch of BS. And, you know, why can't we find money for something like this? This project, it should be a necessity. It should be a huge priority because it connects everybody together and it makes the city much better and more livable for everybody.
Dan, you make some great points. And you know what? You're right. Twice in 50-plus years, the city of Buffalo has missed the opportunity on the stadium because of things they didn't do. I blame that on the elected officials in Buffalo. You're right. If the stadium was downtown, I think this expansion would happen no problem. I think that's another game changer.
Yep. But I agree with you. It's a shame.
You got to have more than what they have on paper now, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with that, but I mean, if you started fracking the state, you'd bring a lot of revenue into the state, and that would help to be able to do projects like this. Instead, they let Pennsylvania take all our fracking, and they get it all. They get all the revenue. They're making tons. Can you imagine the AI race? They're getting almost $100 billion over there in PA. Why couldn't we do that?
Because for the people in charge here, it's all about virtue signaling and making a political point, and they put that over money and taxpayers, and it's really sad.
And they're killing the state.
Yeah.
This electric-only house is coming up as a joke.
The electric-only houses and the electric school buses, I think, it's a joke, and I also think it's dangerous for a town that gets as cold as Buffalo gets. But obviously,
spot on, Joe.
All right, man. Hey, appreciate the call as always, Dan, in Tonawanda, 803-0930, star 930. I mean, I don't want to relitigate the stadium, but Dan's right. If you – downtown Buffalo, the problems they've had – and Rashid Wyatt was right when he was running for president, and Anthony – Tyson Thomas, I hope I got his name right. He was right in the debates when he talked about the failed opportunities, the missed opportunities by elected officials. You knew Buffalo needed, the Bills were going to need a new stadium. You just thought the Pegulas were going to come in and say, okay, where do I need to put the money? No, you had to make it attractive. You had to improve infrastructure. And I guarantee you, if that had happened and you made it attractive for a stadium, the stadium would be downtown. And the things we'd be talking about, we wouldn't only be talking about a rail expansion. We'd be talking about businesses popping up around the new stadium site. It would have been awesome for Buffalo. But just like I've seen too many times in my life, not only did Buffalo didn't even swing and miss. They never stepped up to the plate. They just expect like they're like, we all have that friend who they scratch off tickets all day, right? They work maybe a minimum wage job, and they scratch off tickets all day, and they think one day that $10,000 ticket's going to hit, and it's going to, and their life is going to change. Buffalo thinks that this opportunity is just going to fall in their lap. Something's just going to come out of nowhere, and it's going to change everything, right? Sean Ryan's going to cast this fishing rod and hook in these opportunities. It's just not going to happen. You have to make the city attractive to these opportunities. and you had a chance for the stadium, yes, you would have had to been proactive. You would have had to have a long-term vision, not this short-term vision that has gotten the city of Buffalo in the condition that it's in now with a $70 million deficit. And it's sad because I'm like all of you. I love it here. You know, and the sad thing is there are people who don't live here anymore, who moved down to Florida, who moved to South Carolina, who love it here. But it was not rational to stay here. The opportunity was not here for them. And they needed to go somewhere either to enjoy their retirement or they needed to go somewhere because there was no opportunity left for their children or their grandchildren. It's sad. It is sad. And I want to see a reverse. And like I said, I don't care what party, what letter you have next to your name. If you're going to be part of getting Buffalo back on track, getting Western New York back on track, you've got support from me. I don't need to win a political war. I don't need to win a political anything. I just want Buffalo to be the Buffalo that it can be. But for 60 plus years, it has been either missed opportunity or not even taking a shot at the opportunity. Taking yourself out of the game before it even starts. And that's inexcusable. 803-0930, star 930. So we'll see. We'll see. There. So this proposal, there will be meetings on it, and the map is on their Facebook page. You know, I should put it on my socials, and I will do so after the show, just so everyone knows what we are talking about. I should have done that before the show. I apologize. But I'll put this proposed expansion at the Joe Beamer on X and Joe Beamer on Facebook so everyone can get a look at it. By the way, we are following this breaking story in speaking of downtown Buffalo, we are following this breaking story in downtown Buffalo of falling bricks from Buffalo's Liberty Building. City spokesperson said debris is believed to have originated from the 13 stories up. Investigation is underway to evaluate condition of building. The victim is said to be awake and alert. Now, that is a building my mom worked in for almost two decades when she was taking the train downtown. Interesting note about the Liberty Building. They don't have the number 13 on the elevator. Speaking of 13 stories up, if you get on the elevator in the Liberty Building, it just has the company name. It does not have the 13 because, you know, 13 is on. Or does it just even skip 13? I can't remember if it skips 13 altogether or if it doesn't have 1-3 on the elevator. Either way, they don't want you to know 13 stories up, right? They don't want you to know you're on the 13th floor because that's, you know, considered unlucky, I guess. But we are following that story. Again, falling bricks from the Liberty Building. Debris originated from approximately 13 stories up. The investigation is underway. But the victim is awake and alert, and we'll continue to update you on that. I mean, one of the more notable buildings downtown, right? You've got City Hall. You've got the Liberty Building. You've got the Gold Dome Bank Building. So, I mean, I think if I say Liberty Building, everyone knows it's the building with the two Statue of Liberties on top of it. 803-0930, star 930. That's the number to get on. I wanted to get to this. So I'm just going to give a quick. So today on X, of course, I'm on X a lot. The county executive put out, again, just, I don't know if he actually believes this or if this is just like him going, Kathy, can I get a job? Please, Kathy, can you put me in the administration? Somebody, does anybody want the services of Mark Poloncarz? He put out, so Charlie Kirk put, I was just in New York City all weekend with our family. Never felt safe. So many people in the city who don't belong, praying for all involved. So the county executive, now remember, this is an individual who needed security detail to do an interview at WBEN on a Sunday morning. Okay, let's just, I think it's fair to point that out. So he informs us that 2 weeks ago, and you'll remember 2 weeks ago, he was at that conference in Philadelphia that you and I paid for. He said, 2 weeks ago, I had to take a train from Philly to New York that arrived at Penn Station about 3 a.m., now, again, we paid for that train ride because his flight from Philly to Buffalo got canceled. I walked down 8th Avenue to eat at an all-night McDonald's. I mean, Why are you even putting that information in the tweet? Why are you saying that? He goes, at no time did I feel unsafe, and I was lugging my suitcase. The only people who don't belong in our society are racist and bigots. Because remember, if you disagree with Mark Poloncarz, you are a racist and a bigot, according to Mark Poloncarz. You have to agree with him 100%, or you are a racist and a bigot. Now, this, number one, you had to get something to eat at McDonald's at 3 in the morning. You know, I've either been on, you know, I was on a plane once. I didn't take off till 2 a.m. because of issues with the plane. 3 a.m., like, I would have just poured myself on the other train and fallen back asleep. This guy needs to go get a McDonald's fix at 3 in the morning. But also this, I never felt unsafe. Bro, you're the one who, you know, you have to go through an obstacle course to get into the RAF building. No one's allowed to park under the RAF building. So you don't feel safe in Buffalo. You don't feel safe in the RAF building. You don't feel safe in the WBEN studios on a Sunday when there's two people here. But you felt safe walking down 8th Avenue at 3 a.m. to get your McDonald's fix. Now, I love New York, right? I heart New York. I do. I think New York City at Christmas time, nothing beats it. I love going to a Mets game, Citi Field, best ballpark in the MLB. But I will admit to you, yeah, there are times you're taking the train from Jamaica Station into town after landing at JFK. And, you know, you either I've seen two people getting an altercation, not a fight, but just yelling at each other. You feel a little unsafe. You see the stats. Now, I realize Kathy Hochul wants to talk about how crime is down and how sweet it is. But there's still a crime issue in major cities. That is a reality. And for this person, for Mark Poloncarz to just regurgitate talking points because he felt safe getting his McDonald's fix at 3 in the morning on 8th Avenue, I don't understand. Liberal politicians, they just want to ignore and downplay real fears people have in major U.S. cities. And they just want to laugh at you and kind of push you aside. It's just like if, oh my gosh, unless you're Hillary Clinton or Stacey Abrams, you cannot question an election. How dare you question an election unless your name is Hillary Clinton or Stacey Abrams? They laugh at you, they ridicule you, and push you aside. I think what you need to do is hear people out, hear their concerns. But you've got so many liberal politicians, their concerns are the most important, right? Their concerns, you have to hear all about it, right? We're still waiting for the arrest to be made in the death threats a few weeks ago. Where's the investigation on that? Did we find the person issuing the death threats? Have they been arrested? Have they been charged? Anyone making death threats should be arrested, should be charged to the fullest, right? I think we agree. But you got to hear their concerns. Their concerns are the most important. You have a concern about crime in a major U.S. city where statistically there's a lot of crime. No, you're a racist and a bigot, and we're just going to push you aside. That's not the way to handle it. But yet we see that more and more from the Mark Poloncarz of the world. 803-0930, star 930, back after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whoa, boss. How did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners.
We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, yeah. I heard the song this morning. It's been stuck in my head. Took us 2 hours to find it online. Tanner, who's the artist again?
It is Harry James and Willie Smith.
There it is. Harry James and Willie Smith. Great little ditty. Who's Sorry Now? I heard it for the first time this morning, and like I said, that little has been stuck in my head ever since then. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go up to the falls and talk with Ken. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Doing all right. Ken Hamilton on the line. Hey, Ken.
Ah, you recognize my voice.
Oh, yes. I thought it was you, but I didn't want to assume, so I waited till you said something.
Well, I need to say a few things. I heard the caller before the break, he was talking about Buffalo railroads and all of these other things. And that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with it. But I was in seminar with Robert Wilmers, who was the president of M&T Bank. This guy was absolutely brilliant. This was a smart growth seminar. But before I go into that, let me say this, because this would be a setup for it, is that when I was in, I went to a vocational school. I took welding. And so because, you know, it's welding and everything's steel and concrete and everything else, we were allowed to have a picnic in the lunchroom and cook our own meats out on the grill. And so I'm sitting across from my teacher. We all have strip steaks, and he has a sirloin, a tender, not a sirloin, you know, the what's wrong with my brain, the prime cut of meat, that tender little round piece of meat. And I said to him, we got big steaks and you have little ones. And he says, but my little one is better than your big one. And it took me years before I had the steak that he had. And he was right. Size is not always anything. In fact, too big is too much. So I go back to Bob Wilmers. We were at the Birchfield Penny. And the smart growth people had come up from Washington to teach Buffalo how to properly grow. And so we listened to all of the pinheads and what they were talking about. And they were just college kids. And, you know, so they had their dreams, which I'm not putting them down. It's just that it's their dreams. And so now when they had finished their presentation, Wilmers was the first to speak from the table. He says, that's great that you came up here and everything, but we don't have to worry about smart growth in Buffalo because we're shrinking. And then the next thing that he said still hangs in my mind from all of those years ago. He says, but Buffalo doesn't need to learn how to grow because we're shrinking. And what we need to do is to learn how to right-size the city, right-size the city, right-size the city. He said that, and within a half an hour, I was back in the mayor's office here in Niagara Falls telling what he had said. It seemed like everybody wants to build a big and beautiful city. But a city is not buildings or any of those things. It's the people that dwell within the city, and they do those types of things and not necessarily the city. And so when we start to look at Buffalo, and Buffalo's a great city. Believe me, I've been to Rome. I've been all over the globe. For everything, every place from Turkey to Vietnam and through the Caribbean and the north coast of Africa and the Mediterranean, just everywhere. So I've been to some pretty nice places. We have a jewel in Buffalo, pretty much just the way that it is. But the issue comes down to this, right-sizing. Because with any change, if you understand the management of change, with any change, you have to map out the possible things that can go wrong and be prepared to do those things. The rail to Niagara Falls, I've been saying that for a long time. So we go and build a new 44 million train station that don't bring a single extra person to Niagara Falls, which is crazy. And so we build buildings, which are crazy, because you don't need those things. Drop them off and let the people, you know, catch a cab, wherever it is, and go and see the waterfall and do whatever they're doing. In other words, when we start to look at Niagara Falls, Buffalo, and other cities that are municipals, that are municipal corporations, that there is a set of rules by which they must follow. And so what you first do is decide what footprint that you have, what resources that you have, and what group kinds of people that you need to have to make the city grow. City grew because of Niagara Falls. Buffalo grew because of electricity made in Niagara Falls. But when Buffalo started to shrink its population, what made Buffalo grow is the University of Buffalo in Amherst, which brought great minds into the city. I mean, smart people in their own way. They were smart. Wolf Blitzen, I was at an event with Wolf Blitzen, who, you know, he was on the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and he was speaking. And I listened to some of the things that he said on how they got, how his father sold that property to UB. But as the University of Buffalo brought intellectual people into the city. And we have to say, well, what do we have now? And what's the best way of not growing the city, but improving the city so that they are the that tender piece of meat, instead of just a big slab of meat. And we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful of that in any community in which we're trying to govern and to grow. The problem with Niagara Falls, and to some degree Buffalo, is that we grew with the people that the other cities did not want, and we're suffering the consequences of that. Yep. How do we overcome that? We have to try and instead of attract people who are bringing in more government money based upon their poverty and start to bring in more intellectual money based upon the productivity of industries that you can hire the people that are already there. And so this is the things that we have to be careful of.
I mean, Ken, that is one of the bigger issues. As you said, you've got UB, you've got all these smart students, but as soon as they graduate, how many of them are actually staying in Buffalo?
Well, you know that Buffalo, the University of Buffalo, the University of New York at Buffalo, is the flagship campus of the state of New York. It's not in Albany, it's not in Binghamton, it's not in New York City. True, it's a throughput, but these kids bring a lot of money into the community, and they stay there for 4 to 6 years. And if you understand economics, you understand the churning of money in a small place or in a singular place. And that's what they bring that allows the economy of Buffalo to be the economy of Buffalo. Buffalo was once the 10th largest city in America. Well, what changed that? The barge canal, well, the Erie Canal at that time, because instead of having to take wheat, you know, through horse and buggies and all of this stuff from Chicago to New York City and other places on the seaboard, now you could take it across the canal. Then what happened to the canal? We perfected the trains systems. And so that stuff now comes from trains. This is why you have the elevators there, is because this is where the wheat from the West came in to be loaded onto the barges to go to New York City, et cetera. And they send up oysters and all of the other things. And that's the trade that we had. But the other thing that made Buffalo famous or successful is Niagara Falls, and not because it's a tourist destination, because of all of the electrical energy that we can make here, if that's what we wanted to do. But it seems to us now that we don't want to be strong and prosperous. It used to be called Niagara Falls, the king of power, the queen of beauty. We don't want to be the king of power because that takes effort. We just want to be the queen of beauty and look nice so that people who are not much better off than the people that live in Niagara Falls would come from the contentious states to a significant amount that it looks like that we have a tourist district. But what do the people in the city of Niagara Falls do? Most of them are lowly employed, low income, all of these other things, and we get no benefit outside of the tourist district, then it makes no difference. And when we were talking about casino gaming, and the Gazette, Niagara Gazette, the newspaper, sent someone out to Atlantic City, before she went, I'm saying, no, you don't go to Atlantic City to find out what gaming will do for Niagara Falls. You have to go to Branson, Missouri, to see what a waterfall in gambling, how it would work in cities like Buffalo, especially like Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls now has something like 7 million people coming to Niagara Falls a year. And Branson does not have a waterfall, no natural features, and they get 7 million people coming there. It's going to be the industry and the entrepreneurship of individuals to begin to engage. We like to build big hotels. That's fine. Some of the families here, and I know some of the families here that own these hotels, they're great people. But what we have to do is to find a way to make the citizens great. I used to take my aunt to the doctor when she was sick. And then we'd talk after lunch. I said, Niagara Falls is not a tourist city. It's an industrial city with a tourist area. She argued with me. And then her argument was, no, because when I came to Niagara Falls in 1949, she said, I went to work in the tourist industry. I said, really? She says, yeah. I says, well, what did you do? She says, I cooked and I cleaned. I says, and you did that all year long? She says, no. In the wintertime, they laid me off. I says, okay. But the owner of the bed and breakfast had made enough money over the summertime that it sustained him through the winter, right? She says, well, no. In the wintertime, he went to work at taking a temporary job in the factories. And so Niagara Falls is not Buffalo. Niagara Falls' strength is the king of power. But if we kill the king by not wanting to do anything other than decorate the city, right now we are engaged with, they want to build another convention center, an event center in Niagara Falls for Ontario hockey clubs.
Yeah, I heard that.
And they don't want, data banks in Niagara Falls because it makes too much noise. But what makes Niagara Falls famous is when they go down by the waterfall and hear the thundering waters. Oh, that noise is okay. But the noise of you making money, being productive, putting people to work. Remember that guy that was on, you know, what is that, where they everybody comes before you and try to get you to support whatever it is. The one guy that tried to invest in Niagara Falls, New York. And I know the project. I know the project well. And that he couldn't get the project to work because of the mindset that we have here in Western New York is we just want to look pretty. Yep. We want to look like the others, but we want to be pretty looking like that. And it does not produce or churn within our economy 7, 12, 15 times. And if you go down to Miami, look at Miami. What makes Miami so great is because of the Hispanic population in the city, that if a dollar gets paid to somebody from outside of that community, it floats through that community for 12, 14, 15 times before it goes out. And so when you start to look at what is an economic model, is it one where in the wintertime you make no money, in the summertime you make no more money than Branson, Missouri. And Branson has an advantage because they don't have a winter, really. You know, they have these theater homes that you could go to, buildings that you could go to, and listen to the people that you loved hearing when you and they were both young. They have a built-in market of appeasing people and taking them back to their youth. It's a time machine that they have. Here, hey,
Ken,
what do we have?
Ken, I'm up against the clock, man. I appreciate the insight, though.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Hey, glad to give it to you.
Always great talking with you, Ken. Don't be a stranger to the show, my friend.
I'll try not to be. Take care.
I appreciate it. Great insight from Ken Hamilton. I would have kept going, but you know we're up against the clock, and always great to hear from Ken Hamilton. And there's also a debate on the text board if he meant tenderloin or filet mignon. So I couldn't think of which one either. I think it's filet. Though filet mignon, great hearing from Ken Hamilton and great insight. And it is sad. I mean, Buffalo used to be a huge city, and you see some of these other steel cities that they were able to figure it out. Buffalo still kicking themselves. Tom Byerly is up next with his program. Tom, how you doing on this Tuesday?
Or you could just go with a porterhouse and get a little bit of everything, which is always good. I'm just saying.
Try that.
Yeah. Anyway, coming up, Joe, you had me riveted with your discussion of the proposed expansion to the Metro Rail. You asked me about that yesterday, and I'm gonna steal your topic. Do you mind if I do that?
I'm honored.
Well, don't be honored, but yeah, because you know, I heard the guy calling in from Alcott and talking about UB and all these people and economic development and everything. I'm sorry, but which of the economic development promises in the 1970s with the original Metro Rail came true? How about none of them? It was great for the contractors. It was great for some of the property owners who sold some of their land, but I don't know that it was really good for downtown business, because if it was, how come they reopened Main Street again? Yeah. So I'm just saying, yeah, you know, everybody wants a nice, pretty, shiny project, but wouldn't money be better spent on upgrading the city's, for example, sewer pipes?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice 40 years too late.
Well, yeah, but we're gonna get into that. And I wanted to ask the guy from Alcott, when's the last time he took the Metro Rail in Buffalo?
It's a good up there in Alcott. Probably been a while.
I'm not trying to pick on the guy in Alcott, because I like Alcott. I love Alcott because they've got a place up there that makes its own ice cream, and they've got that cheap amusement park that he mentioned, and they've got a really nice beach when it's not full of feces.
Yes, I've heard. I've never been to Alcott. That's going to have to be on the list either the end of this summer or next summer. Get up there with the fam.
Well, on your way, be sure to stop at Buy's Popcorn if they've got that up and running.
I'll have to. Well, Tom...
You don't have to be bi to stop there, by the way. It's B-Y-E apostrophe S, just so you're aware. Buy popcorn!
Well, Tom, looking forward to that in just a few minutes. I'll have to tell the story of why I climbed through my window into my kitchen tomorrow.
I'm sorry, did I took your time up. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to tell that, and then we took Ken Hamilton's call. So, no, it's not. I can tease it for another day. It gets me some anticipation for tomorrow.
The lesson is, when Ken calls, don't speak with him.
Oh.
I'm kidding, Ken.
Tom Byerly is up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 on WBEN.
Whoa, boss. How did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.